Growing up, I loved playing computer games, but I have not found something in adulthood that scratches that same itch. Video games don't do it. I can't use that controller. It's just not it for me. But oh my goodness, I am so glad I recently started playing June's Journey. Okay, June's Journey is like I Spy meets Carmen Sandiego, meets The Sims, meets horror movies. It's so wild and it's so, so fun to play. June's Journey is a hidden object mystery game with a captivating detective story taking you back to the glamour of the 1920s with a diverse cast of characters. Each new scene takes you further through a thrilling murder mystery story that sets the main protagonist, June Parker, on a quest to solve the murder of her sister and uncover her family's many secrets. June is fabulous. She has a fabulous little hat and feather in her cap. She's at this family estate on this gorgeous island that you can decorate, which you know that I love to do. And then as you're going, you go into different rooms of the house. You find clues that are going to lead to the suspicious murder of June's sister and brother-in-law. It's so dark. Like, you're looking for clues inside of a murder scene photo. But also, all I want to do is find the trophy and the riding crop and the muddy footprint that might be a clue about, wait, was there another person there? It's so intriguing. It's so fun. I love playing it. At the end of the day, just sitting on the couch, you know, that state of mind where you're not ready to go to bed yet. You don't want to be watching TV anymore. It's sort of just background noise. I want to be looking around my little island for clues. And that's why I love having June's Journey. Right now, I'm in the chapter where we are really uncovering some salacious information. There seems to have been a third person there the night of the murder. And that is not what we believed at the beginning. So, you know, I'm ready to figure out more about this mystery third person because I think it might be the key to everything. And so you better believe I'm about to dive back in, and you can do just the same. Escape reality and immerse yourself in the world of June Parker. Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This episode was originally recorded and released as a bonus episode to our Patreon in December of 2021. If you'd like to become a patron, you can join at patreon.com/TSDW podcast.
This is Emily,
Henley,
and Sammy,
and you're listening to Too Scary, Didn't Watch.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Too Scary, Didn't Watch, bonus episode. For you, our patrons.
Each time I feel like I see you trying to figure out what month it is and what...
I am absolutely doing that. And did you also watch me just give up and decide to not even say it?
I like it. Improvising. She's an improviser, folks.
I'm an improviser. Folks, that's what I paid so much money for. Was it worth it? You decide. Yeah.
I think it was. I think you're great. Don't ever change.
Thank you so
I love you.
Much. Oh my God, I love you.
Tony Heads, I just wanted to start by some just old Tony chat. Tony has a new movie coming out, Nightmare Alley.
Oh my freaking God.
I haven't watched a trailer for it. I don't know if the trailer is even out. I bet it is. But just for, we all love Tony. It just seemed like we should shout out her new movie.
Yeah, this is news. This is news for us.
Go support our leader of our inner circle. Whenever that movie comes out, which I didn't look up. I don't know when. Just, you know, keep it on your radar.
But I think soon.
I think so, too.
Probably.
Okay. It comes out December 17th, 2021.
Hella soon.
And there is a trailer. And that's all I know. Ooh, it has a real stacked cast here.
Yeah, this is definitely stacked.
Wow. Rooney Mara. I feel like Rooney Mara is not in content anymore. What happened to her? You know?
Yeah, well, she's in this
she's
one.
Back.
And Bradley Cooper's in this one. And apparently this was maybe going to be Leo, but he turned it down. And then so was the role in Licorice Pizza was going to be Leo. But instead it was Bradley Cooper. So I don't know. It's interesting. Ooh,
Bradley Cooper just getting Leo's leftovers, huh?
Scooping them up.
Hey, not a bad.
Making a meal out of it. You know what? Good for you, Bradley. Good for you.
Yum, yum, yum.
Yummy. Love those Leo leftovers.
Okay, let's keep going with this.
I paid so much money to get trained in comedy.
Wait, speaking of Bradley Cooper, I just want to bring this up real quick. I don't know. You guys might already know this, but there's kind of this insane like pocket of time where a bunch of people went to Georgetown around the exact same time. And they're all like super famous now.
Like the university?
Yeah, Georgetown University. So Nick Kroll and John Mulaney and Mike Birbiglia were like all at Georgetown around the same time. Georgetown University, like the...
I mean, it's a very good school.
It's a great school, but it's definitely not one you consider when you think about like comedians or even like entertainers at all. Bradley Cooper also went to Georgetown. I can't remember her name. I think Britt Marling? Is that right?
Yeah, Britt Marling.
She who created the OA. Yep. Wait, am I thinking the right person?
That's Britt Marling.
Yeah. She was at Georgetown at the same time. It's just like this very strange phenomenon of like a bunch of people being at, and I don't know if there's been another moment where Georgetown has produced like so many people who became so successful so soon after who weren't like lawyers or politicians. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, I guess so.
I
don't know anything about Georgetown, so I don't know. It's
okay. My dad went to Georgetown. It's in Washington, D.C. It's a very good school. It's
very good school.
It's a Jesuit school. Mm-hmm. It is like tied to a religion. And it's just a very like straight laced. It's like an extremely conservative. It's an extremely conservative place. I think that's probably the best way to describe it. It's a very, very white, conservative, wealthy university.
Huh.
So in that way, like, yeah, of course people are going to be successful.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But
list of white people is also successful who went there.
Rich white people coming out on top. Uh-huh. Imagine that.
So in that sense, not that surprising, but at Georgetown in like the type of people you imagine going to Georgetown University is not like John Mulaney and Nick Kroll necessarily.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just wanted to bring that really relevant point up.
Yeah, thank you. I think that's, I'm really glad to know it.
Okay.
Thank you for humoring me. You guys are my friends.
What if we did a bonus episode just about where people went to college? People we don't know who aren't in the movies that we're talking about.
I think this is an interesting point. Do you guys not think this is interesting at all? You guys are just humoring me. You don't think it's interesting at all.
I know that my tone is mocking, but I can't seem to turn that off. It doesn't reflect how I feel, which is that this is interesting.
It is. Validate me.
I think it's interesting.
Okay, fine. We can talk about the movie now.
Hey, what are we talking about today?
I've heard that the movie is really scary. That's what people keep commenting on the Instagram.
Uh-oh.
Well, today's bonus episode movie is Creep, which came out in 2015, and you guys chose it. And it won by like a lot. I feel like I asked for suggestions and this was the one that clearly was getting the most likes, the most momentum.
A lot of buzz.
And funnily enough, I actually had just watched it like a month ago for the first time.
Just for fun. Wow, you watched a horror movie we weren't even covering as an activity.
You know what's so funny? I was telling Jenna this, is that part of me feels guilty when I do that because I've done it a few times. I watched a movie called Daniel Isn't Real. I watched Gerald's Game and we're not doing them on the pod.
Just like you're cheating on us.
Yes. And I feel like, oh, I feel like
you're just enjoying yourself.
How dare you?
And so part of me, when you guys chose Creep, was like, oh, phew. I'm like, don't have to feel guilty about having seen it anymore. Which also, I'm allowed to do things for myself, and I don't need to. I don't need to feel guilty.
Yeah, Sammy, that is wild for you to feel. There's a truly no reason.
I know, but I just thought it was kind of funny that even part of me feels that way. So I thought I'd just tell you guys.
Yeah, put it out into the open. Shine some light on it. That's good.
But Creep is directed by Patrick Bryce, written by Patrick Bryce and Mark Duplass, starring Patrick Bryce and Mark Duplass, and it is streaming on Netflix.
Okay, I have heard of this movie. This I had put on my maybe list when I was trying to watch some scary things around Halloween, and I was looking at lists of good streaming scary movies, and this is one that I deemed too scary to watch on my own just based on the one plot, so not like little just tagline that I read of it. So now I get to find out what happens, which is great for me because I was interested but too scared, which is sort of what we do here.
Sort of the whole thing, baby.
Sort of the whole thing. I like when Mark Duplass does scary things.
Yeah, so we kind of talked...
Like in movies, not in life.
I hope he doesn't do scary things in life.
I hope not, and I wouldn't like it if he did.
I wouldn't like that. But we talked a bit about Mumblegore in our Your Next episode, and this also falls into that category. Mark Duplass and Patrick Bryce are in that little Mumblegore group. And some other Mumblegore movies are The Innkeepers and The House of the Devil, which were both also suggested by you guys. So just know that they're on our list, and I am curious. Another one is Blue Ruin, which I also just watched recently, but I wouldn't call it...
Cheater!
Blue Ruin is the one that's also directed by the director of Green Room. And so I had been really excited to see it for a while. So I treated myself to it and I loved it, but I wouldn't call it horror, and I wouldn't even call it scary. It's just, violent.
Ugh.
Okay. So Creep has a 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. High.
Very high.
74% on Metacritic and 6.4 on IMDb.
Wow. We are all over the place.
I know.
Okay.
Also, have you guys had Creep stuck in your head since we started talking about... I've had it stuck in my head all
no,
day.
No, Radiohead?
Oh, now no. It's just...
Oh,
now it's
no,
stuck in my head.
But that's fun. No.
Oh, that's what I've stuck in my head. What is the other Creep?
Is it TLC?
So that, I Creep.
Fuck.
Yeah.
I've had it stuck in my head all day. Anyway.
I didn't, but I will now.
Okay.
Me too.
I couldn't find any budget or box office numbers. I think it went straight to VOD release. Actually, I know that it did. I know in my heart of hearts that it did.
Okay. If you feel it, it's true.
We honor your feelings.
But I still wish I could have found the budget, because this is, I would guess, in the Paranormal Activity range. Like, this looks like a no budget movie. It's just these two guys with a video camera. It's found footage, so it's
cool.
It's
that's interesting.
Both filmmakers, so they clearly knew what they were doing,
right?
That's
so
cool.
I'm sure the budget was super low, and I would be curious to know it, but
somebody fucking tell us it.
Yeah, there wasn't too much. I couldn't find that much trivia about it. It was apparently based on a conversation between Patrick Bryce and Mark Duplass, which I wrote down, but I don't even really know what to make of that piece of trivia.
Yeah.
But a conversation where they came up with the idea for the movie? Were they talking about a movie to do and pitched it?
It's pretty funny because it's like, doesn't everything come from a conversation?
Yeah, it's like, I bet they did talk about it. I'm sure they talked about it at some point.
Yeah, it's like one of the only pieces of trivia that was on there. And I was like, I guess I'll write that down.
That's funny.
It's not very interesting, but...
I don't know why it's really making me giggle. Wait, a conversation? Wait,
you know what's funny about it is because most times when there's trivia like that, it's like it came from a dream he had, and like,
right?
It's like, okay, that's kind of cool, but it's like came from a conversation is just how you think of ideas of things.
All ideas are born. It's just what it is. Can you imagine if we were like, yeah, we came up with the idea for this podcast from a conversation.
And they put that on our like trivia list.
We were talking about this could be a podcast, and then we did it just from a conversation. Can you believe it?
Oh, unheard of.
And then one other thing I was just thought was notable is that this movie is 77 minutes long, real crisp.
Oh, that's nice, crisp.
But still some pretty heavy lifting for just two folks, you know?
Yeah.
That's true.
And there is a Creep 2 that has 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
What the fuck?
Which I haven't seen yet, but I will watch it. And, you know, maybe I'll tell you guys about it. Maybe I won't, because I get to do things for myself sometimes.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, you do. You do. You do. We support that.
And I just like, how much do you guys know about this movie? Not very much.
I know literally nothing.
I read a little tiny thing about, like, you know, a little blurb being like, this is a movie about this, but no more than that.
Okay, let's watch the trailer at the end so that you guys can really experience this movie fresh.
I want to experience it fresh.
Okay, let's dive right in. We start with a character named Aaron driving into the mountains, talking to his camera. It looks like he's driving to like Big Bear or Lake Arrowhead. That's kind of the scenery. This is Patrick Bryce. And he explains to the camera, like, okay, I'm on my way to this job that I got online, $1,000 a day to film some guy. And said, discretion appreciated. Like, I don't really know what to.
So I guess I'll tell you about it.
And I don't really know what to make of that, but, you know, it's a job.
Yikes.
Yikes. It's already terrifying.
This is bad.
Yeah, no thanks.
Also, I know this isn't what I should be taking from this, but can you imagine, only a man could accept that job?
Yes, absolutely.
Can you imagine me, like, $1,000 a day, film me, discretion advised, come to my remote location? I'd be like, oh, I will die, which I guess is probably what is going to happen, but but I would assume so immediately.
Yeah, no, a woman would not do this. But in Creep 2, I think it is a woman that, well, I don't know if it's the same plot, but I know that there's a woman in Creep 2, so... Just so you guys know. Okay, so he arrives at the house and it seems like there's no one there. It's like these long stairs up to a yellow door. He's like, there's the yellow door, knocks on it. Nobody's there. He's looking around. He's kind of annoyed, like, what the heck? I drove all the way out here. And he looks down into the yard and there's an axe like stuck into a tree trunk. And he like zooms in on it and is like, okay. Which, like, would you guys get weirded out by in the woods? Like, I feel like that wouldn't even...
No, you wouldn't even, like, think about it necessarily.
I wouldn't even think about it.
Not nearly as much as $1,000 a day. Come here, stranger.
I know.
I would just be like, that's where this guy chops his wood.
Yeah.
But, so, he gets back into his car and is about to turn around and go back home when Mark Duplass jumps out, like, into his car window, like, big jump scare startles him. He's like, hey, are you Aaron? And he says, I'm Joseph. So sorry. He's in, like, jogging clothes. He's like, sorry, I was out for a jog. I missed you. Like, I'm so happy you're here. Like, we're going to have so much fun today. And he's got, like, big energy. And Aaron is throughout this, like, pretty, well, he's, you know, filming, so he's not talking a lot, but he's... It seems like he's sizing up. Joseph doesn't know what this guy's deal is. So Aaron's on edge. Joseph is like loud and having a good time. He's comfortable and is stoked that this is happening. Joseph tells Aaron, you have a really nice, kind face. Like, I'm really glad it's you that came. And Aaron is immediately like a little weirded out by this, obviously. And Joseph pulls him into a hug as he gets out of the car. He's like, this won't be weird by the end of today. Like, we're gonna go so deep today. Like, a hug's not even going to be a thing. We might as well get it out of the way right now. They have a hug and they go inside. And Joseph explains, this is my family vacation home. And I have an inoperable brain tumor. And I've been given 2 to 3 months to live. And my wife, Angela, is home. She's pregnant with our first kid. And I just want to make a, you know, I don't know if I'm going to make it to when they're calling the kid Buddy. They don't know if it's a boy or a girl yet, but I don't know if I'm going to be there when Buddy's born. So I kind of just want to document my life, my day, so he can have something of me to get to know me by.
All of this is great. I love it so far.
Yeah. So Aaron softens at this and is like, okay, this is, you know, a seemingly good reason for the situation.
Oh boy.
And Joseph says, you know, just keep the camera rolling the whole time. And we're just going to, yeah, have something to, for Buddy to remember me by. So he can see me the way that I was. And he pays him up front. He's like, let's just get this out of the way too. And Aaron says, okay, thank you. Great. Joseph says, okay, great. I'm going to get in the tub. Come on. And runs upstairs. And Aaron is confused and filming him as he undresses in the bathroom and is like filling the bathtub. And he's like, are you sure? And he's like, yeah, we're going to do tubby time. My dad used to do this with me. You're not going to get in the tub. It's like, just me. You're going to film me in the tub. And it'll be like, so that Buddy can see what it would have been like to have bath time with me. Cause that's something I always really loved when my dad did with me. And again, Aaron's like, okay.
This is so awful. I'm sorry. I'm like, my heart's beating so fast. I'm so scared. I hate this. It's,
you know, one of our patrons commented that I think is perfect, that they said this movie was too awkward for them to watch. Too awkward, didn't watch. Like, they had to turn it off because they were too uncomfortable. And I was like, that's exactly right. It's like Nathan for You horror, like, is what it, what is what the vibe.
Okay, you guys, I just learned a really wild fact that I need to share with you. I know I'm not usually a fact person, but did you know that Americans pay about 2 times as much for their wine as the rest of the world? Why? Because laws dating back to Prohibition ensure the right of wholesalers to make big margins. Okay, look, we got to be getting these wine deals that we deserve. And guess what? I have a solution for you, because this podcast is sponsored by Naked Wines. Naked Wines is a subscription service that seamlessly connects you to the finest independent winemakers on the planet. So you get a box of the market's best quality wines, however often you'd like, for a fraction of the price you'd normally pay in stores. Use our code TOOSCARY for the code and password at nakedwines.com to get their incredible deal of 6 bottles for just $39.99. I recently really loved a bottle that I got from Naked Wines of Chardonnay, and I'm not usually a big Chardonnay person, but I'm getting into it. You know, crisp, buttery Chardonnay is actually quite nice. And also, the least acidic white wine, just FYI, if you're a little heartburn sufferer like me who refuses to give wine up, that might be a way to go. And I love just being able to try things that I wouldn't normally pick out for myself, because I get these incredible variety boxes of wonderful bottles at, again, a fraction of the price. And how does Naked Wines do it? Well, Naked Wines connects winemakers and wine drinkers directly, allowing for vineyard to your door delivery at up to 60% off what you would pay in store. By cutting out the traditional retail middleman costs, winemakers can pass those savings on hundreds of top quality award-winning wines to you without skimping on quality. It's such a good deal to get Naked Wines. I mean, price, yes, variety, knowing that you're getting wines directly from independent winemakers is just so, so wonderful. They've got a great quiz where you can give them the descriptors that you like in your wine so that each shipment is tailored to your tastes. So there really is no reason not to give it a try. Head to nakedwines.com/too scary and click enter voucher in the top right and put in too scary for both the code and password to get 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99 with shipping included. That's $100 off and less than $7 per bottle. That's nakedwines.com/too scary and use the code and password too scary and grab 6 bottles for just $39.99. One last time, that's nakedwines.com/too scary, code and password too scary for $100 off your first 6 bottles.
Oh, awful, 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 awful.
Joseph says to Aaron, you know, we're going to go a lot deeper than this. So like, just get used to it. It's,
I don't love this logic of like, we're going to go deeper. So get fucking comfortable.
Right.
It's like, that's not how comfort works.
No. But so he gets in the tub and we see him talking straight to camera, to Buddy, and he's putting a cup into the water and pouring it, like miming as if he's bathing Buddy and washing his hair. And it's like sad and sweet. He's like, and he's playing with him like as if he's got ducks. He's like, do, 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 boop, oh, like playing hide and seek. And then he lays back and he's like, okay, it's my favorite time. There's candles around the bathtub. And he lays back with an invisible baby on his chest and like looks down at where the baby would be and looks right into the camera sees where he thinks the baby is looking. He's like, oh, you like the candle? You like the candle, huh? And then he looks right into the camera and he's like, he's looking at the flames. Buddy, you like those flames, don't you? Like, it's all just very, it's like so, so intimate and uncomfortable and stressful. And then he lays back and they're having like just the resting part of bath time. Like, he's showered him and now they're just cuddling in the water. And then he turns to Aaron and is like, he's like, it seems like what a waste. Like, why would I even want to go through the next couple months? Like, I could just end it right now if I wanted to. Like, why am I doing this to myself? Then he sinks down under the water and holds himself underwater. And Aaron gets up and is like, Joseph, Joseph. And Joseph bursts out of the water and goes like, ah! There's so many annoying jump scares in this movie of Joseph just being a fucking freak and like, bah! Just fucking with Aaron. But he jumps out of the water and he's like, oh my God, oh my God. Oh, I'm so sorry. That was a joke. That was a joke. Oh my God, look at your face. Like, you look so stressed. Like, I'm so sorry.
That's so annoying.
He's like, it felt like the mood was getting really tense. And I thought that I should lighten the mood a bit by pretending that I was committing suicide in front of you.
Hilarious.
And then he goes, okay, I'm sorry that I took it too far. Let's go get some air. And starts getting out of the tub and he says, let's go outside. You'll need a jacket though. It's cold out. You can go to my closet downstairs and grab a coat. And Aaron says, okay, starts going downstairs and he pulls open the closet and there's a wolf mask. That's also a jump scare because it's like right in full frame of the camera as he opens the closet. This wolf face, just like a scary wolf face looking back at him. He screams and Joseph comes down to see what's going on. And he says, oh, you found Peach Fuzz. And he says, this is great, actually. You're going to love this, buddy. And puts on the wolf mask and says that, again, his dad used to do this with him. There was even a song about Peach Fuzz. And he starts doing a little song and dance. It's long, too. I feel like it's like 2 minutes of him just singing and dancing with the little wolf mask on about Peach Fuzz, the friendly wolf. And it's just like so uncomfortable. And yeah. And so then they're like, okay, well, now we're going to go on a hike. There's apparently a hike called the Healing Waters hike. We're at the end of it. There's like a little stream or something that you can go put your feet in. It's supposed to be healing. So they set out to go do that.
Don't go on a hike, man. That's fine. Okay, you're doing it, but just don't think about not doing
Aaron
it.
Aaron is following Joseph on this hike, and Joseph is just like fucking with him. Like, he'll just run up ahead like too fast, and Aaron's like, I can't keep up with you. And he's like,
come on, Aaron, come on, Aaron, like just a little bit further over here. And he's like, like he's being, so weird. Aaron's getting annoyed and scared, you can tell. And then he says, like, how far have we gone? Do you know the way? Do you know where we are? Are we lost? They're just going deeper and deeper into these woods. Aaron obviously has no idea where he is. He's never been here before. And so it's like obviously very scary for him. And Joseph turns around to Aaron and says, do you have any peace you need to make before you die? Like, do you need to make peace with anyone before you die? And Aaron says, maybe my ex. And Joseph says, your ex? And says, no, my ex-girlfriend. He's like, I thought you said your axe, like an axe, like a chopping axe. And he's like, by the way, Aaron, did you see my axe in my front yard? And Aaron says, oh yeah, I did notice that. And he says, can I ask you something? And you just be completely honest with me. And Aaron says, okay. And he says, when you first saw that axe, did part of you think I was going to kill you with it? And Aaron says, yeah, a part of me did. And Joseph just starts laughing and laughing. He's like, oh my God, you really did? Oh, that is so funny, Aaron. That is so funny.
Oh, Jesus.
And then he like runs up ahead again, and Aaron's trying to keep up with him, and he loses him. And I know, at this point, just turn around. He loses him, and then the camera's just panning around in the woods, like yelling, like, Joseph, Joseph. And he doesn't know where he is. And of course, Joseph eventually pops out again. Ah, gotcha. And this time, I guess Aaron looks really mad. And Joseph says to him, oh, for a second there, you kind of looked like you wanted to kill me. I saw some fire in your eyes, Aaron. And Aaron's like, no, I'm just like, I just, you scared me. And Joseph's like, no, there's an animal in you yet, Aaron. Like, I see some fire behind your eyes. And then they get to the healing waters. They eventually find it. But as they find it, it's Joseph stands on the edge of this cliff. And it's like, Aaron, come here. I see something over here. And I was like, just so stressed, like, don't go walking over to the edge of that cliff with that man. But he does. And Joseph just points out there's a formation in the rocks of a heart. It's like a heart pool. And it is cool. Like, it looks like a perfect heart carved into rock. And Joseph like gets quiet. He's like, you know what that is? That's a miracle. That's a true miracle right there. And it's like, come on, let's go put our feet in those healing waters. And they like set the camera down on a rock so we can see both of them now getting their feet wet. And Aaron seems to be lightening up a bit in this moment as well. They seem like they're having fun for a second.
Emily looks mad.
It's crazy how on edge I am.
I know,
it's
me too.
Very stressful. So then after they wash their feet in the healing waters, they hug, and looks like Joseph looks like he's having an emotional moment, you know, reflecting on the cancer, that he's going to die soon, buddy. Like, and so it makes Aaron soften. And so they hug and they have a nice moment. And Joseph then is like, okay, let's get out of here. Do you want to go? There's a diner around here. Like, we can let's go get some food. And so they go to a diner, and Aaron is still filming Joseph. And there's a moment in which, as Joseph was suggesting this diner, he's like, oh, this place is the best. You're going to love this place. And then when they get there, Joseph like looks at the menu and is like, well, let's see, what do they have here? What kind of stuff do they have here? And it's just like subtle, but it's like, oh, he's never been here before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Fuck. Is any of this true?
Aaron doesn't really catch it. He kind of does, but doesn't make a big deal. He's like, oh, he's like, I thought you said the pancakes were really good. And Aaron's or Joseph says, yeah, yeah, you're right. The pancakes. Yeah. Why mess with a good thing? Like the pancakes are what I like. And gets the pancakes. Then after they get their food, Joseph asks Aaron, have you ever done anything you're really ashamed of? And Aaron thinks for a bit and he tells a story. And Joseph's like, give me the camera, give me the camera. I'll film you. This will be fun. So they turn the camera around.
My son will love this.
Yeah. It is like we're getting into like weirder and weirder. Like, what? Like, yeah. Is this for Buddy? What's happening? Turns the camera around onto Aaron, and Aaron starts telling a story about how when he was younger, he used to pee his pants a lot. And so they like gave him a device that like straps, I guess, to your penis. And when it feels wetness, a beeping goes off on your wrist, like a little connected to a watch on your wrist.
Mm.
How would that help? I think that's true.
It feels like similar to like potty training kids, where a lot of reasons why, like that new theory that is apparently really hot right now with potty training kids is that you just let them walk around naked because that they fucking pee and shit everywhere and they realize when it's happening. Like, it's like so much of like diapers make them not realize when it's happening, I guess. Mm. So and like, that's why they don't know to associate a certain feeling with, I need to go to a bathroom. So it seems like maybe that device is like doing that. It's letting you know, right, like, hey, this feeling is you're peeing. So like before it happens, go to a bathroom.
Henley, are you going to let Silas pee and shit all over your house?
Definitely. But then I was also thinking about how I heard someone was telling a story about how like their daughter or their sister or someone, just like maybe their parents took a similar tact, but like she would only poop behind the couch. Like she like refused to
Did
poop.
Did they put a little toilet behind the couch?
No, I think it was just like a terrible potty training thing where she for whatever reason, like what only felt comfortable enough to poop like behind the couch and refused to do it. So that's the danger of letting your kids just like poop and pee anywhere. Is that then what if they associate doing that somewhere in the house instead
and that's
of
the that's the only danger
in the bathroom? That's the only danger. Honestly, like you're cleaning up so much like pee and poop anyway. I had another coworker who was when she was like last night I was like trying to make dinner and Logan was making like so much noise and he was being so annoying. And like, all of a sudden he was like slipping and sliding all around the kitchen floor. And I was like, how did you get like water down there? What happened? No. And then I realized, no, he just peed everywhere and then was having like his own personal slip and slide through it.
Oh my God.
So it kind of feels like it's going to happen no matter what.
Yeah. Wow.
Anyway.
Okay, so he's telling this story.
Yeah, I don't really mm-hmm. understand the monitor necessarily, but he says that he remembers a day on the playground with a bunch of other kids. He started peeing and this alarm started going off and everyone was looking at him and laughing and he's like, and my pants were wet and this alarm just like wouldn't stop going off.
That's so much worse.
Oh my God, that's awful.
I know. And so he's like, that's the first time I remember feeling like really like a lot of shame. And then it's Joseph's turn and he's like, okay, my turn. And he's like, I have something to tell you that I'm ashamed of.
Oh God.
And he pulls out his cell phone, scrolls to his photos, and just starts showing Aaron a lot of photos of Aaron arriving at the house, going up, knocking on the door when it wasn't answering, waiting in his car, walking up the steps. And Aaron is like, what the fuck? What is this? And Joseph says, you know, I didn't know who you were going to be. I I didn't know if I could trust you. I wanted to size you up before I decided to share this part of me with you, but it was wrong and I shouldn't have done that. And I'm really, really ashamed. And I want to be totally honest with you about everything. Like, you've been so good to me today. And like, could you forgive me? I'm so sorry. I'm so ashamed that I did this.
Okay.
Yeah, that's Aaron's reaction as well. He's just like, yeah, okay. Yeah, I guess we can put that behind us. And now it's nighttime and they're going back to the house, and Aaron says, I think I'm going to go home now. He's at the bottom of the stairs as Joseph is kind of on the midpoint of the stairs, looking down at him all backlit. It's a really great shot. It's like very creepy. He's just a little silhouette. And Aaron says, like, I think I'm going to go. Joseph says, no, you're going to go? What? Like, I was about to pour us a whiskey. And Aaron says, no, like, I think I'm ready to head home. And Joseph says, come on, like, this has been a really emotional day. I think we should commemorate our day with just a little toast. And then you can be on your way. And I need to film a little sign off for Buddy. Like, the film can't just end. Like, I have to film a goodbye.
What a perfect film for Buddy, too.
Buddy's going to fucking love this film.
Yeah, he's going to love it.
So Aaron reluctantly agrees, goes inside. They have a glass of whiskey. And they are sitting at the table, and Joseph asks Aaron, why'd you take this job? And Aaron seems confused. He's like, for the money. And Joseph's like, it's for the money, huh? For the money. And you're like, are you struggling with money, Aaron? You having money problems? And says, no, not really. It's like, but bet you could probably use more money though, right? Aaron's like, yeah, I mean, always, yeah. And Joseph says, well, I have a lot of money and I want to give you some money. And Aaron is caught off guard by this. He's like, no, that's okay. Joseph is like, we're friends and I have it. Like, if you saw that I was hungry and you had food, wouldn't you give me food? Like, I have an excess of something and you have a lack of it. We're friends. I want to give that to you. And Aaron's just doesn't totally know how to react to this. And then Joseph says, there's a check in your boot right now. And the camera like pans down and he reaches into his boot. And Joseph goes, I'm fucking with you. Like, no, there's not. And he's like, but the fact that you looked means that you want it and you need it. And let me give that to you. Like, I want that. I want to be able to do that for you. I want to give you some money. I want to do that for you. Like, we're friends and, you know, for the sake of, you know, I said, I wanted to be honest with you. I wanted to be honest and open with you. I do want to tell you that I did lie to you about something. I want to get it off my chest. But this isn't for Buddy. So can you turn the video camera off? And Aaron says, okay. But he turns like the video portion off, but keeps recording audio. So this is all just black with subtitles so we can hear what Joseph is saying. And he says, I lied to you about peach fuzz. Peach fuzz wasn't from my dad. My dad didn't give me that. My dad didn't ever do that with me. He says, there's one night that I was trying to work and our internet was going really slow at home, me and Angela at our place, and someone said that our browser history was too full, and so I went at through our browser history, and oh, Aaron, the things I saw, oh, horrible, horrible stuff.
a lot of pornography, mostly animal pornography, people having sex with animals. And I didn't look at that stuff. And Angela is the only other person in the house. And so we were out here at our family home on vacation when I found this out, and I was so disturbed that I told her I got called into work, but I didn't get called into work. I drove 3 hours into a town and I bought Peach Fuzz. I bought that mask.
Oh my God. Okay.
And I came back and I waited until the middle of the night, and I broke in through the bedroom window where my wife was sleeping, and with the mask on, Peach Fuzz mask on, and I tied her up, and we proceeded to have the most passionate sex we've ever had. I've never seen her look so happy. And then afterwards I left and I came back the next day and asked her how her night was. And she said it was fine. And just like sit in the silence of that story for a bit. And then Joseph says, I raped my own wife, Aaron.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
And then we just see the camera turning back on and Joseph smiley again and talking straight to camera, like, okay, buddy, like, I hope you enjoyed this look into my life. I love you so much. You're like the greatest gift. And the camera just moves and gets up, and Aaron's like, okay, we got it. Like, I'm leaving now. And Joseph's like, what? Like, I didn't even finish my sentence. I don't think I'd like to do another take of that. I don't think we got it. Aaron's like, no, we got it. We got it. And is looking around. He grabs his jacket. And of course he's like, have you seen my keys? Where are my keys?
No, classic.
Don't let those keys out of your sight, my dude.
And Joseph says, did I freak you out with my rape story? Aaron, did I freak you out with my rape story? I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. You can stay here. It's dark. You've had alcohol. You should stay here. You can go home in the morning when it's light. We'll be able to find your keys then. It'll be brighter. It'll be easier to see where they are. Aaron is looking really stressed. Also, worth noting, Aaron is much bigger than Joseph. And so there's like so many times in this where I'm just like, it's also very, well, we'll talk about this a bit at the end. But so, okay. So Aaron is, you can tell, obviously scared, wants to be out of there, doesn't know what to do. He's pacing around, and then he kind of switches and he's like, okay, yeah, all right, I'll stay here. And the camera is set down on the table. So we see Joseph sitting at the table with his back to the kitchen, which is where Aaron is. Aaron's like, let me get us another glass of whiskey. And we see Aaron pouring the whiskeys and putting something in one of them. And he turns back with it, hands that one to Joseph. Aaron's glass has like a finger of whiskey. Joseph's is like filled to the brim. And he's like, bottoms up. Joseph says, bottoms up with this cup. And he's like, all right, thinking we're having fun now. And he downs the whole cup and it's like, okay, let's take that goodbye again. Let's do another take of that. And Aaron says, great, sets the camera, sets it up. Joseph starts saying, buddy, I love you so much. Starts fumbling over his words as he is he's like, do you have a taste in your mouth? Do you have a taste in your mouth? Like, this is whatever is in his drink is starting to hit him. He passes out. And
I think he walks over to the fireplace before he passes out. So he passes out.
What did Joseph have on hand?
Aaron have on hand
that
that was my first thought too. He's like, oh, good thing I keep my roofies in my pocket at all times.
They do have a line to explain it that I think he finds Benadryl at the house, but also does Benadryl like knock you out?
No, definitely not.
They call
not.
It Benadryl at one point.
Maybe if he put a lot of it in there. But,
like, you would see Benadryl in whiskey if you put a lot of it in.
Yes. Even if you put, like, 4 pills in, I don't think it would knock you out.
Oh, I guess I think of Benadryl as liquid, as the pink. Oh, what is the pink? I'm thinking of Pepto-Bismol. Wait.
Yeah, Benadryl is pink on the package, but I don't think the things themselves are pink.
Oh, well, the pills are pink, but I don't know. There might be liquid Benadryl, too. I don't know. Anyway, who cares?
Okay, who cares?
The point is,
he passed out.
The point is, I've taken 2 Benadryl before, and it makes you a little sleepy, but definitely does not make you pass out.
Well, he passes out by right in front of the fireplace, like on the little ledge in front of the fireplace, and Aaron starts feeling in his pockets, looking for his keys. He's patting around and can't find anything. And then Joseph's phone rings. And Aaron takes it and goes into the bathroom and is whispering and answers it. And he says, hello. And it's a woman's voice. And Aaron says, Angela, is this Angela? And the woman says, yes. Which I'm pretty sure this woman's voice is Katie Asleton. I think it's Mark Duplass's wife, but she's uncredited. Mm. But just a theory I have.
Mm.
And he says, is this Angela? She says, yes. Who's this? And he says, this is Aaron, your husband. I'm here with your husband. I think I need help. Like, I don't know what he's doing, but I think he took my keys. And she's like, my husband? Like, what are you talking about? And he's like, well, you're Angela, right? And she says, yes. And she says, Joseph is my brother, and he is not mm-hmm. well. Like, what are you doing there? How do you know him? And Aaron says, I came here to film him because of his brain tumor. And she says, Aaron, you gotta get out of that house. Just leave right now. And he says, he took my keys. And she's like, just go on foot. Just like physically get out of the house. Just don't stay there.
How unwell is your brother, miss?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, we're about to find out.
But can you imagine being like, oh, yeah, that's my brother. Get out.
No.
Yeah, just don't be alone with him.
Get out of the house.
He'll kill you. He'll hurt you.
On foot
he will harm
at
you.
Night.
They call the police.
I hope she called the police.
Call the police.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Okay.
He hangs up and goes back into the living room, and Joseph is gone.
Fuck.
Oh, my God. Call the police.
Fuck.
I wonder if he does call the police. I can't remember now. I don't think he does in this moment. He will later, but not now.
Oh, my God.
So he's got the camera. We've got a lot of the panning shots looking for Joseph, and it's very stressful. He opens the balcony sliding door and pans right and pans left and pans right again and then left, and Joseph is right there. And Joseph's like, what did you give me, Aaron? Why did you do that? He's out of it.
Oh, God.
And then Joseph starts crying, and he says,
yes.
I don't want to die. I don't want to die, Aaron. I don't want to die. And Aaron says, Joseph, I know what's going on here. Like, I know you're lying, and I know you need help. Like, can I take you somewhere? Like, I think you need help, and I want to help you, which is crazy. Like, but also maybe just a technique of trying to, like, be nice to him. He's like, I know you're suffering. I know you need help. Let me help you.
His sister said, get out of the house.
I know. Get out.
His sister said that to you. She said, get out. She didn't say, I'm coming. Oh, my brother. Oh, I here's the deal with my brother. She said, get out of the house.
Get out of the house. It's not very helpful, sister.
But it's also like, get the fuck out of the house.
Yeah, don't try to help this man. Just get out.
Oh, fuck.
And he, as he says, I know you're troubled. Joseph gets this look in his eyes like he's caught. And he darts downstairs. They're on the second floor. And so Aaron will need to go downstairs to get out of the house. And so Joseph has darted downstairs. And it catches Aaron off guard. He takes a second to kind of grab his shit and grab his coat. And he goes down after him. And Joseph is wearing the wolf mask, blocking the front door.
No!
Aaron says, Joseph, are you going to let me leave? Joseph shakes his head no. And Aaron says, are you just trying to scare me? And Joseph nods yes. And Aaron says, well, it worked, man. I'm fucking terrified. I'm scared. Like, what else do you want right now? Like, I want to get the fuck out of here. Like, you did it. You proved it. You proved that you fucking scared me. And Joseph starts growling and rubbing his butt in circles on the door. And he's like sexy, like dancing on the door, grinding on the door, growling. And Aaron's like, stop it. Why are you doing that? And he's just like, like rubbing his butt in circles on the door. And then they run at each other. Camera falls down and we just hear a scuffle and it cuts to black. Camera comes back on, a wide shot in the woods of Joseph dragging a big garbage bag through the woods. He has two big garbage bags and a shovel. Gets to a place in the woods and starts digging a hole. And we sit on this shot of him digging a hole for a while. And then we hear, okay, so what we're looking at, and the camera like turns around and we see Aaron back in his home and turns the camera to show that we are watching that on his TV and that Joseph has sent Aaron this tape. And he's like, so he knows where I live, so that's not good. He's like, after, you know, I got out that night, I drove home, I like got my keys and drove home, like nothing happened, he didn't hurt me, but I just got this tape, and so I guess he knows where I live, and I guess this isn't over. Aaron is like very freaked out and sleeps that night with the camera set up facing him in bed, and he's kind of talking to the camera at one point and saying, I've been having, like, this guy's gotten so in my head, I've been having these fucked up dreams. I had a dream we were in a heart-shaped jacuzzi, and he was wearing the peach fuzz mask, and then I realized I was wearing a peach fuzz mask too, but it was like a baby wolf mask. And then I looked down and my whole body is a baby. I'm a baby wolf, and he's giving me a tubby time.
Oh my god.
This fucking
movie. Oh my god.
But just this kind of night vision-y look of the camera is really scary. The way that it's set up, you just keep expecting someone to be in the back of it. Yeah, pop out through the back. It doesn't. We see the next day a big box is delivered to Aaron's house. He opens it. Right on top is a big knife and a little DVD that says, Watch Me. And he puts it in. It's another video from Joseph who says, I'm sorry about the last tape. I reacted from a place of anger. I wanted to scare you. But that was not right of me. That was fucked up. And I'm sorry. And I just wanted to get you this gift to apologize. And if you have, like, you've obviously found the tape, probably found the knife, but if you haven't found the third gift, like, look in the box again. And he digs around in the box and there's a stuffed animal, wolf. And Joseph says, you know, I said I saw that wolf inside of you, and I know that there's a wolf inside of you, and so I want you to let that out with that knife on that wolf, because you'll never know what you find inside of it, something like that. But he's basically telling him to, like, let out his animal urges by stabbing this little stuffed animal wolf with the knife he has provided. Aaron looks like, I'm not gonna do that, and just starts ripping the, with his hands, rips the stuffed wolf open and pulls out a locket. And it's a little heart.
Thank God.
A heart locket with a photo of each of them in it. And he shows it.
Creep. Yeah.
And Aaron shows it to the camera and says, okay, time to call the cops. And he calls the cops, and we just hear his side of the conversation where he's like, I'd like to report a stalking, and a person is sending me threatening videos, and his name is Joseph, or at least I think his name is Joseph. He might be lying about his name. No, I don't know his last name. Like, what do you mean you can't do anything without a first or last name? Like, I this guy's following me. I feel like I'm in danger. And we just hear that the cops are not really, they're like, we can't do anything if you don't know who he is or where he lives. And he's like, oh, I looked up the place that I met him at, and it's just a rental place. He doesn't own it. He's not, like, so he truly doesn't know who this man is. And the cops are like, well, we can't really help you then. That night in bed, again, he is on edge talking to camera. He's like, I'm like a little freaked out to fall asleep. And I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do about this guy. And
do you have, like, a friend?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that would help.
A friend would help. And he hears a noise and he, like, jumps out of bed, turns all the lights in the house on. He's like, lights on, lights on, lights on, like, pacing around the house. He's like, hello, Joseph, if you're here, like, stop it. Like, what do you want? And I have the knife still. Like, I'm holding the knife. Don't, like, even try to fuck with me. And the camera's just set up in his room so we can see through his bedroom doorway to the front door. And Aaron is standing there and then walks to, like, do a lap of the house to inspect. And as he moves away from the front door, we see Joseph just standing at the front door, looking inside, watching Aaron. And as we see Aaron come back into the room, like, closer to camera, Joseph sees his movement too and, like, ducks, or, like, runs out of the way of the door. So Aaron doesn't see him, but still opens the front door to try to to inspect further what the noise was. And he's got the camera with him. So now he's walking down the little alley between houses and looking around. He doesn't see anything except his trash can is knocked over. And he doesn't know what to make of it. And so he's like, okay, fuck it. Goes back inside, locks all the doors again. And
yeah, well.
And then we see the camera turn on at nighttime in his room.
This is so stressful.
He's sleeping. He is not the one that has turned on the camera. Someone picks up the camera and just films him and, like, tracks the camera down his whole body. It, like, lifts up the blanket to just show his feet, which is really creepy. Films his feet and then cuts off a piece of his hair and then sets the camera down. Aaron wakes up the next morning And he has a new video delivery. Joseph has cut a hole in his screen of his bedroom window and like shoved this little DVD through there. And there's a new video of Joseph talking straight to camera. And he says, you know, he holds up the first video DVD of him with the trash bags to camera. And he's like, I can see why you would throw this away. This video was upsetting and I apologized for it, but I can see why you'd be mad about it and want to throw it away. But this, and he holds up the locket. He's like, this was a gift that came straight from my heart as a peace offering. So for you to throw that away really hurts my feelings. Like, I'm a lonely, sad person, Aaron, and you're the only person that has been nice to me. And I know I haven't treated you right, but like, I'm so alone and so lost. And I just like wish I could do over our relationship. Like, I truly gave that locket to you because I want to like make it right. And I want to be friends, and I like need someone in my life. And so if you would be willing to meet with me at a lake, at a public place in daytime, like there'll be people around, you can tell people where you're going, like there's no risk, you just come, like we can talk it out, and like I want to make this right. And for some unknown reason, I guess Aaron is like, I don't know how to make this end. And so he's,
yeah, maybe this will make it end.
So Aaron goes, he sets up the camera to film himself from a distance. So he's at this bench at the end of the lake that he's meeting Joseph at. So he's the only one in frame, Aaron, sitting on this bench facing the water. And we see Aaron walk up behind him. Joseph walk up behind him. And he's got his peach fuzz mask. He puts his mask on and pulls out his axe. And he just stands behind Aaron for a while, just looking at him. Aaron inexplicably never turning around and looking for this man that is stalking him and making his life miserable. And Joseph lifts the axe, does a little like practice, like aiming it right for Aaron's head, and then pulls it back and swings it down right on Aaron's head. Aaron slumps over. The shot looks really good for this being such a like low budget. Like, this looks like a man getting axed in the head, and it shows it can't like cut because nobody is in this moment like operating the camera. And Aaron dies. And
what?
Then we cut to now.
Does no one in this public park see this man axe?
I guess not. No?
Not public enough.
And then we cut to, we see now that Joseph is watching this tape of him killing Aaron. And he says to camera, like, Aaron, it was smart of you to film that. But like, why did you never turn around? Like, why wouldn't you turn around? That seems so weird to go to meet me and then just kind of look at your phone. Like, that's... And you know why you did that? It's because you're the greatest person in the world, Aaron.
What?
And that's why you'll always be my favorite. And he takes the tape out and he gets a phone call. He says, hey, Bobby here. Yeah, the job, it's easy. Like, you just come and film me. Like, all you need is a video camera, $1,000 for the day. He's walking over to a closet. Opens the closet, takes the tape of Aaron that's labeled Aaron, and puts it in this closet that is just filled with videotapes of all different names. Kevin.
What?
What not? Like, it's like 100 tapes in there. And that's the end of the movie.
What the fuck? What the fuck is this movie about? What?
So, like, what's up with the sister?
Right? Like,
yeah, the sister, like, knows.
Yeah, if you're that sister, you're culpable here. This is
yeah,
That's a what do you call assistance? Assistant murder?
It's assistant murder. Assistant murder.
Well, and also aren't like,
fuck.
This is what I want to know. Is there someone out there who's like a serial killer who is murdering a bunch of people who we don't even know about? Do you know what I mean? Like, can you really get away with murdering 100 people in this way? And no one knows about you or looking after you? Whatever. I guess we have to throw our rationale out the window here.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it's very stressful and a really genius little film because it's so simple and it's so scary and it's just we've talked before, just like the scariness of strangers and like Craigslist, like this is why the rental was so scary. It's like mm-hmm. you put your life in strangers' hands a lot in today's mm-hmm. world and you just never know what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
Ooh. God, that's fucking scary. I wonder what the second one is.
Yeah, so the second one is a woman, and so yeah, I'm curious about it. I will watch it.
And Mark Duplass?
Yeah. Still? And they are making a third currently.
That was very scary. Mark Duplass can play creepy very easily.
Yeah, he's super creepy in it. But it's funny because it's like an interesting kind of scary. The like Nathan For You brand of scary is really because it's like you're just so uncomfortable the whole time.
Well, Funny Games was like that, but way worse because it was so much more violent and like so much more drawn out.
Where it's like someone just fucking playing with you and toying with you, and you're just like,
oof,
watching it.
Sammy, thank you so much.
Wow, that was wowee.
Yeah, I feel bad. And I need to go have like a nice cup of tea or something.
Yeah, that one is something. That made me very, very uncomfortable.
Yeah, and it like
very, very uncomfortable.
Yeah, it did stick with me also. Cause it's one that you'll think about when you're home alone.
No one pick up any jobs from Craigslist, okay?
Definitely not.
Or put on your fucking location services and tell 100 friends where you're going.
Have friends, tell them.
Mm-hmm. All the time.
But okay, you guys, we still have to watch the trailer.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
All right, we are leaving the flatlands and we are heading up towards the mountaintop. The ad said $1,000 for the day, filming services. Discretion is appreciated.
A yellow door. And realizing that no one knows I'm here.
Hi!
Shit. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to scare you.
I'm assuming you're Aaron.
Yeah, I'm Aaron. Nice to meet you.
Joseph. Oh my god. Oh my god. This is gonna be a good day.
So the reason I've hired you is because I have terminal brain cancer, and I want you to film me to make a video diary for my unborn son. You ready for this?
Okay. Joseph!
This is called an adventure. Woo-hoo! We don't know exactly where we're going, but I have a feeling. When you follow those feelings, great things can happen. Don't ever forget that.
Joseph!
There was about 2 seconds there where it looked like you wanted to kill me.
Joseph, I think I'm gonna head back. You see my keys?
One drink, okay?
Bottoms up.
Get out of that house right now.
Joseph.
Why do you look scared? Don't be scared. It'll all be over soon.
my God.
I'm really glad we didn't watch that first, because honestly, it gives like kind of the whole movie away.
But honestly, like, you knew from the fucking first seconds that this movie was being talked about, like, that it was going to be bad.
Mark Duplass is very creepy.
So creepy. Oh, my God. Him right at the beginning just being like, it's going to be a good day.
It's going to be a good day.
Oh, I hate it. 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 I don't know. I feel bad.
I
feel bad. It's, I mean, imagine watching it twice in 1 month.
No, Sammy.
That's what I did.
Proud of you.
I liked it.
Proud of you. Wow. Okay. So, okay. Well, there it is.
We did it, Tony Heads.
Freaking did it.
You picked a good one. And we love you for it.
We love you forever and ever and ever. Thank you, Tony. We really
do. But yeah, yikes.
For starting this group.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you to Tony herself.
Love you guys. Boy.
Love you guys. Love you guys.
Love you guys.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Too Scary Didn't Watch. If you like the show, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and give us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You can follow us on social media at TSDW Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. And if one episode a week just is not enough for you, head on over to patreon.com/TSDW Podcast to become a patron and receive all sorts of extra goodies from us, including bonus episodes, trailer reactions, and more. And no matter what, we will see you right here next week for another episode. We love you so much. Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.